Coldplay, The Scientist. Have you seen the video of that?
Great, it's just brilliant.
I think I might have worked out. He's walking backwards, it's all filmed backwards, but he's singing forward. Now, the only way I can work out they've done it without CGI in it and cheating with the lips is that he had to
learn it backwards
and did it sort of like bit by bit. Did he do that?
He was on Zoe's show like about a week ago or something, and so he sang it backwards.
So he learned phrases and they filmed that. Yeah. But he didn't learn the whole song, did he? They must have, he couldn't possibly have learned the whole song. He must have like stopped it and...
Don't know.
It's a great video though. They always do a good video.
No, it's very good indeed.
So it was, yeah, The Scientist on XFM. Wonderful one. I'm Ricky Gervais, with me Steve Merchant and Carl Pilkington.
I had a bit of good news this morning.
Go on.
I was on the tube coming down, and I don't want to sound arrogant, I don't want to sound pushy, but I was at Green Park, and I'm fairly certain, Rick, it's not 100% corroborated, I'm fairly certain that a woman pinched my arse. So what do you think of that? Yes.
There's a lot of pickpockets around Green Park.
No, my wallet was still there.
Really?
But even if it wasn't, you know, that would have been money well spent. But but the wallet was still there, so how, what do you think of them apples? Eh?
So what did she just pinch your arse?
I can't confirm it at this stage, exactly what happened, but it certainly felt like a pinch. I looked round, there was a woman behind me.
Right.
She was fairly old, she's probably in her mid-30s.
Right.
Kind of reddish hair.
Right.
I don't know if she's listening.
Right.
But she knows where I am. And so I don't know how to proceed really, Rick. I don't know if it's worth putting up some posters around the Green Park area.
Well, what you could
just
do
to try and corroborate it. If you saw a woman pinch the lanky guy's arse,
no,
please get in touch.
You could probably get in contact with British Rail and go back over their
CCTV cameras, yeah.
And then they could probably zoom in and, you know, sort of identifying sort of birthmarks or exactly. She might have been holding some.
Then I could hire a private eye. Again, money well spent.
Well, so there you go.
You know, I'm just saying maybe that, you know, maybe things are looking up.
Things
are getting towards Christmas.
The worm has turned.
Eh? I mean, you know, it's a little sexy story to get the show going.
It is
pretty
sexy.
What do you make of that then, Carl?
Because
I know you're quite damning. What's your answer?
Well, I mean, you're quite a tall fella.
Sure.
So, she must have really wanted to sort of reach up and have a pinch.
Hmm.
You know
well,
I mean?
You think she did it with her teeth?
He didn't say she was a dwarf.
No, but Steve's taller than, you know, his arse.
Yeah, but his arse isn't 6'9", is it? Well, his arse is about 3 foot off the floor.
4 foot.
What?
4 foot off the floor.
No, I don't think so. About 3. She'd have to be a midget to have to reach up to pinch Steve's arse. He is very tall, but
I don't know what your point is there, Carl. Maybe you're just a little bit jealous. Just a little bit of jealousy.
Well, do you know what happened to me on the way in?
Go on.
A homeless person called me a dickhead.
How did he know? Do you know him? Is
right,
that one?
He's a local. He's like the local big issue fella.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And he knows me. He sees me walking up and down the
street.
Oh,
that's how he knew you.
Right. So so normally I have a bit of a chat with him in that, and I walk past him, and you know I can be a little bit cheeky with him because I've been cheeky with him in the past with stuff.
You pinched his arse.
No, just you know saying stuff like, "God, you're always there. I mean, you got home to go to and." Stuff like that.
Yeah,
no,
just breaking the ice. Go on.
He knows, and he'd laughed at that, right, last time, so I thought I can be a bit cheeky, right? So he goes, do you want a big issue? I said, nah. He said, come on, I've got loads of them, right? So I sort of said, oh, when I was a kid, and I used to do a free paper round, the free papers one, I said, just put them in the bin and go home, right? And he went, yeah, but how am I going to get any money doing that, you dickhead?
You see... I can see his point.
Mm-hmm.
He is homeless and having to sell newspapers to get 50p or a quid or whatever.
Yeah, and sometimes I treat him, right? And today I didn't have any money. I had a takeaway last night and I normally give them a quid. And I felt bad not being able to do that because I didn't have any money on me last
right,
night.
Right.
I couldn't look him in the eye.
Did you explain this to the homeless person, the traumas of the takeaway without the tip? Did you explain that, you know, you've had it hard as well?
I had food delivered to my warm flat.
Yeah.
It was
yeah, you don't know what that's like. You don't know what the trauma is because you can't have food delivered to your flat because you haven't got one. So please don't look at me like that. You should have said.
But most people ignore him. At least I gave him a bit of acknowledgement and sort
of- Yeah, took the mick.
Yeah.
I didn't think I was. I just was being friendly.
Yeah. No, I know.
You got to be careful with the homeless because this is true. You know when the clocks went? Was it the clocks went back recently? Yeah. So you got an extra hour in bed.
Yeah.
And I was at Cash Point with a friend of mine, and there was a homeless person sat by the Cash Point, and you know, I'm gonna get some money out, and she said spare some change, and my friend, oh, he's a bit awkward. He's just trying to make conversation with her. He went, oh, clocks go back, extra hour in bed.
Oh no.
I gave her £2. I felt so bad.
Oh, God.
He didn't do it intentionally. He didn't realize what he'd said.
Just making conversation. Bumbling.
It's tricky making conversation with the homeless because there's so many areas you've got to avoid. You know, what was on the telly.
Yeah.
You know.
Although I get recognized by homeless people and they are, I don't know where.
Well, you've got to remember that's very much your demographic,
Rick.
Yeah. People who watch TV through the window in Dixon's.
Yeah, in Dixon's. Yeah, there was a big debate as well. Yeah.
They can smell the alcohol on you. They think you're one of them.
Oh, I've had to cut down on that. I've been really good with this training thing.
The boxing.
Play a record and I'll tell you about that. I had my first week of training. I'm in trouble. I'm struggling.
What do you want to play?
Oh, have we got a bit of, have we? Stone Roses, classic.
Feeder, Come Back Around. XFM 104.9. Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington. Alright?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so I had my first week of training for this, charity boxing. For those people who don't know, I'm fighting Grant Bovey. Anthony Turner's husband. It sounds arbitrary, but it's actually because he's, at 41 and about my weight, a bit taller, I think. But, and we've never done it before, but, no, it'd be fun.
Mm-hmm.
Battling someone for charity.
Yes.
And I can't believe my luck because I've been a fight fan for like 30 years and they took me shopping, they bought me all the gear, and, the training's great. It's really hard. I mean, I imagine it'd be really hard, and it's probably slightly harder than I imagined. And the only bit I like, so I don't like all the exercise and all the stuff you've got to do. I like the bits that look a bit like something I've seen in a Rocky film.
Right, sure.
You know,
sure.
We did that thing with the string along the ring, and I have to pop up and punch, and that,
right.
That was great.
Right, nice.
Skipping's not bad. I'm trying to get good at that. I like that ball that you go.
Are you any good at that?
I'm getting good at it.
What's that teaching you? That particular thing? It's just the rhythm, is it?
It's rhythm, and of course your arms. Are up for that long, so you've got to keep your guard up all the time.
Yeah.
So that teaches you to keep your arms up.
And you were up at 6 this morning, you broke some raw eggs into a cup and you ran up the steps of the town hall, didn't you? I know.
With those of people following me and I shouted, Bovey! Exactly. At the top. No, I'm not going mad. Just,
sure.
just you know, once every, you know, every other day.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm struggling now. I woke up today and it's like I'd been hit by a car.
Yeah.
Just everything aches, so the muscles you haven't used. But, anyway, I had a meeting, the first time with the people, the program makers, because they're following me for a month and everything, and Grant as well. And they said, you'll need a sort of nickname, just for a laugh. And I went, oh, what's Grant using? And he said, oh, I think he's gonna use Gorgeous Grant Bovey or Grant. I went, oh, I don't know, I better go against that. What about, Ricky Gippo Gervais?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And that's right. Anyway, I had a frequent with Frank Maloney meeting the next day, and, it's sort of like, you know, you've got to do this nickname. And the bloke said, oh, I checked out that name, you can't call yourself Gippo. I went, well, of course I can't. I was joking. He went, well, I said, well, it's racist. I was joking. I was making a joke about me, but, and then he went, oh, I don't know. And then, I went down to get the, buy all the gear from this shop.
They'd have the dressing game made?
Yeah. Yeah. And I was picking all the stuff. I was going, oh, look, that's like Nazwar. Oh, look, that's like Ali War in the, and I'm going, I'll have that, picking all the gear and everything. And, there was a couple of boxers down there, sort of like looking at me, thinking, who's that fat bloke taking up boxing at 40? And, I said who I was, and the bloke went, oh yeah, how are you doing? I went, oh yeah, so how long have you been in the game? He said, I've been boxing 20 years. He said, how many fights you had? He said, about 40. I went, oh God. I said, oh yeah, help me, I've got to think of a nickname. And I thought, Ricky Balboa Gervais. He went, right. I went, or Ricky Marciano Gervais. He looked at me and went, what about Ricky Martin?
Absolutely justified.
Yeah, I'm not respected yet in the boxing world.
No, sure.
But I mean,
it's only a matter of time. Once they see you fight, Rick, everything's gonna change.
So
have you actually punched anyone yet? Have you actually
not any? No, no. I've punched pads and I've punched the bag and I've sort of sparred and that.
I know you're gonna get a chance to punch.
Well,
someone.
As I suspected, my punching power's all right, but my fitness is. I mean, it felt like I was smoking.
Yeah.
You know, but there's. you know, bits of lung that haven't been had oxygen in them for 20 years.
Yeah.
And it's ridiculous. And also because it's not only it's being filmed, but there's other fighters there that are ridiculous. They're like machines, right? And it's that thing I can go, right, I can come out on top, but die now of a heart attack, but never give up. Or I can sit down and go, I'm sorry, I feel ill. And I chose that one, and of course they took the mic.
Well, of course.
But absolutely. I mean, you know, soon, you know, as I said, I haven't got the respect yet of the boxing fraternity, but
it's how long have you got then before?
4 weeks.
Okay, so, yeah. And do they think that they can turn you around health-wise in that time?
No, they're
going to be coming out on a Zimmer frame.
No, they're going to teach me the basics and see how it goes, you know, right. But I mean, you know,
and
I'm
each round is 4 seconds, is that right?
Yeah, 2 4-second
yeah,
rounds.
With a 2-hour break in between each one. A sit-down meal.
So, give them a number. I want serious suggestions of my fighting name. Nothing insulting. Something we can actually use.
Well, let's give out the email.
BBC.
That's always the easiest. Ricky.Gervais@xfm.co.uk. What's the number, Carl?
08700-800-1234.
And it doesn't have to be in the middle. It could be at the beginning, like... The Rage.
Ricky
the Rage.
Ricky the Tits. Sure.
Ricky the Man. Play a record.
Big it was a good day, yeah. Ice Cube talks to me about my life.
Yeah.
A couple of emails are already coming in. Rush, they're flooding in, Rick. Yeah. Inevitably, as boxing name suggestions for you. This is one from Matt, I think. He's given a couple actually. Ricky the Pudding Gervais. Ricky Big Mac Gervais. there's a theme here. Ricky Pasty Gervais. The Pasty. I quite like the Pasty.
That's
when it comes
great,
to Pasty.
Isn't it? As Carl said, he said, the thing is, if you have a really good nickname, it's embarrassing when you lose. Whereas if you just call yourself, it's not so embarrassing when you lose. Carl, this is doing no good for my ego.
But do you know what I mean? If you have, like, Killer Gervais.
Yeah, and then you end up, like, vomiting.
Yeah.
Choking on your own vomit upside down, exactly. Hanging out the ring.
What happens if you win? Do you have to do something?
Whereas
properly?
There goes the pasty being stretchered off in the first 2 minutes.
Yeah.
It's not such a problem.
There he is, being lightly basted. and chucked down a mine. What do you mean, what do I have to do?
Say if you beat Grant, say. Yeah. Say if that happened.
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
what happens next?
What do you mean, what happens next? What? Do you think, this is a contention fight for
the big one? But do they
yeah.
Well, then we make Ricky too.
No, but, you know... Do you know if they're planning on making more money? Because it's for comic relief, isn't it? So what happens on the night?
No, it's for a charity of our
comic
choice.
Relief would make sense.
Yeah, well, yeah.
Whatever, right.
Yeah, it was last time. I think it was last time.
Is it sport relief? It's not sports.
It was last time, yeah, but I think this is a programme where the-
And how do you make money for charity from this? Do we pay to sort of, for how many punches to the head you're gonna take?
Or no, I just
how long you're gonna last?
I assume the BBC donate money or someone, or a sponsor or whatever, so I don't know. Just
right.
Donate. Because it's actually a programme. This is more about a programme with a charity angle. So, yeah.
So as if you get, like, killed, there's more money and food to go around. Maybe. But no, I mean, the thing is, what's the next step? Because if they go like, right, yeah, well done, you've won, thank you very much.
Carl, what do you expect? That it's winner stays on?
Yeah.
Like, in a fair, where I go out there and I let people punch me in
on Bird and Manning.
Yeah, yeah. And then my twin gets up.
Yeah.
It's a programme.
He's not gonna turn pro.
It's like faking it.
Yeah, but what's the point if it's not gonna go anywhere?
Well,
him fighting Grant Bovey in a ring is not entertainment enough.
Yeah, what's the matter with you, Carl?
Man's gonna get his face pummeled in. That's gonna be hilarious.
Right, when I did boxing at the youth club.
When he did boxing, he fought once. He fought a little weak kid, because it was his first day, battered him. Next week, it was someone else's turn, and he got battered and he left.
Yeah, I said, right, I've had enough. But there was
yeah.
There was a ladder there that I had to work, right? And I decided after the first step, I thought, it's not for me, this.
Mm. Yeah.
But if you win, it's all kind of like, right, well...
Yeah, the world's your oyster.
But it's a programme. It's just a one-off programme, isn't it? It's like you got to treat it like faking it.
Yeah, but faking it, right, that little gay fella who ended up being a doorman, he's actually doing that as a proper job now or something. He loved it so much.
Do you seriously think I have any intentions of getting into the fight game and leaving entertainment behind?
Well, what's the point, then?
What do you mean? What's the point in what's the point in watching television? It's entertainment
or educational. I watch it to sort of soak in
information. Well, this is educational. I'm learning a lot. I'm actually learning a lot, and it's, I can't believe my luck. I've got professionals telling me, you know, hopefully how to lose weight and punch hard. That's just fun. It's like having golf lessons.
Right. But say, I mean, here's an example.
Go on.
It's a nice way to plug it. We've got Rockbusters coming up in about 10 minutes or something, right?
Now, look forward to that.
People email in, and they don't just do it for fun. They do it because they know they've got some good prizes lined up.
Right.
So they're doing it because it gets them something.
Yeah, my prize is that I've learnt something in life. I've gone through an experience, and hopefully I'll come out in some way better if I don't get mashed. That's it. That's the prize. That's why we do anything, isn't it?
I think this is example of you, Carl, is that you give up too easily.
Yeah,
you know, you gave that up straight away.
You think there's no point in anything.
I did Crusaders for a... I think I lasted that out for about 4 weeks.
What's that? Crusaders?
Well, it was my mate, right? He was religious.
Uh-huh.
And I'm not, really. But...
No, I mean, you believe in ghosts, though, and shadows pushing people off bikes. But go on.
But it's the same time, I think I told you once before that I went to the church with this lad because I swore and he said he was going to tell me dad.
Yeah.
I was effing and jeffing. So he said if you come...
Is that how they get people to church nowadays?
I love that, what kid, that, yeah, he hasn't quite got the idea of the protection game. There's nothing in it for him. Either you turn to religion or I tell your father.
Right, so I went to church with him and that, and then the next week he said, I know that was rubbish and you didn't enjoy it, it's when I got kicked out for messing with a tennis ball in the pews, right?
I don't think we've heard that, but I don't think we could possibly go into that now.
Summed it up.
Yeah.
So,
Well, come on, we'll come back to that. You had a tennis ball and some pubes. No, in the pews.
But anyway, so I went there and I said, I don't think much of this church thing, it's a bit boring.
Sorry, and so you went to church and you ended up in the Crusades?
No, it's called the Crusaders. What it is, it's meant to be the fun part of religion for kids.
Uh-huh. Right.
And my mate said, oh, you want to come along, it's, you know, you go on a Friday night and do it on a Sunday as well.
Right,
so I went on the Friday night, it was brilliant. They had Sabutio, table tennis, in this dead big old house.
And what do they do at the end? Say, I hope you enjoy yourself, remember God gave you all this.
Well, it's sort of, you know, enjoy the simple things in life. You don't need computer games, you can play table tennis and that, and talk with your friends.
Yeah.
And blah, blah, blah. So yeah, that's alright.
I think you'd be happy in a Young Offenders Institute. You get to clean the toilets there.
But
as
don't
well.
Forget, Carl, I think God invented Nintendo too.
Right. Well, anyway, so that was alright. I loved it on the Friday.
Yeah.
And my mate said if you go for four weeks in a row without missing a day, you get a free badge.
And, salvation.
I don't like all this sort of being stuck in stuff. Do you know what I mean?
That's what
you're
getting tied down.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, oh, every day.
Yeah.
Right. So anyway, so you've got to come again on Sunday, so I thought, well, we'll have another game of table tennis, it'll be alright.
Yeah.
So anyway, I go on the Sunday.
Who was this servant of God?
Right. I go on the Sunday, it's like a totally different club. There's no table tennis.
That's how they trick you.
No Sabutio.
Yeah.
They start handing out Bibles.
Oh. It's like a timeshare thing.
Hang on a minute, right?
They trick you.
So I didn't go again on Sundays. I used to just go on the Friday.
Just go on the Friday. Brilliant.
Brilliant.
I'm amazed no one else saw through that.
Well, the thing is, there used to be loads there on the Friday, so they won't even notice if I'm not, like, that I'm not showing up on a Sunday. So anyway, carried on. It was
just this kid in the vicar.
Oh, I love that. You got one over on the church.
So I was loving it, right, playing table tennis and that. Yeah, and then on a Sunday, they found out where I live, and the head fella started coming round, knocking on the door.
God.
He's everywhere, Rick.
Why did he knock?
The fella.
For likeness.
The fella who, like, ran the club, he started coming around knocking on the door, and I saw him coming up the path, and I said to me, mum, oh, it's the fella from the Crusaders.
Yeah.
She didn't even know what I was
She thought you were off nicking hubcaps and stealing cars.
She didn't have a clue what I was talking about.
You've been going to church!
You've been going to church, I don't believe it!
You little bleeder!
That's not how we brought you up!
So, I said, look, just tell him I'm not in, tell him I'm not in, and she had to keep doing this, and they were coming round every Sunday to try and make me, like, go on a Sunday. It was really important that I went and that I was abusing the system and all this. Anyway, I didn't go, and then-
Why didn't they just tell you on the next time we turned up on a Friday?
Yeah.
No, well, because there was so many people there on a Friday, you just get mixed in the crowd.
Yeah. Right?
It was jammed. It was well popular on a Friday.
Yeah.
Right? But anyway, on one of the Sundays, it was quiet for a bit, and, they stopped coming round. So I thought, right, I can go out again, right, on a Sunday, because I used to avoid hanging around the house in case-
What sort of reign of terror is this?
Incredible.
Right. So I thought, right.
It's like the Spanish Inquisition.
So I thought, great, they forgot about me.
Yeah.
Everything, I can carry on in sort of normal life now.
Yeah.
And I was playing out in the avenue. Fella comes round.
Oh.
And he goes, there you are. You know, you're always busy on a Sunday. You enjoy Fridays and that, don't you? I was like, yeah, yeah. He goes, well, come on, you've got to come with me. And I couldn't get out of it.
No.
You know what I mean? It's like, what could I say?
Charlie says.
Right?
Yeah.
So, anyway, he nearly killed me in a car crash. So that was the excuse I used next time. He had a Mini, right? And
right.
He was driving us there, and he hit the curb, nearly sort of turned over the Mini.
Oh.
And it was like three of us in the back. So, I said-
that record?
So, next time,
was
he,
it
came,
a joke?
Next time he came round to pick us up, I said, look, really enjoyed it and that. I said, but ever since that journey, I really, you know, I don't want to get in the car with you again, because it scared me a bit. And
right.
I said, all right then, I didn't have to go again.
That's all right, isn't it?
That's extraordinary.
Yeah.
He almost killed you in a car crash.
It's a parable. Thank God no one was hurt.
Mm.
Yeah.
I remember that-
Your life moves in incredible ways.
Yeah.
Rather like God.
Yeah. So,
so
they're probably around there now, aren't they? Going, is he coming tomorrow? What we got?
Well, are we talking about the prizes next?
Well, let's talk about the prizes. We've got the big game Rockbusters coming your way soon, Rick. I know you're excited about that. And like, is there more educating Ricky this week? Have you got that planned?
There is. We are struggling on that feature a bit now because I feel like we've covered a lot of topics.
Yeah, okay. I know. Well, I know about hairy Chinese kids
yeah.
and deaf people that hit their head and can hear again.
Sure.
So I don't think there's lots more to learn in life. And the amazing Carl Pilkington. Right. Prizes.
Yes. Rockbusters.
Yeah.
It's one of the big exciting quiz shows, and this may be one of your last chances to play. There's rumours that it's gonna get ditched, Rick. Rumours that Carl Pilkington, the creator and mastermind behind it, has already grown tired of it. It's off on the way. You heard them earlier on, the very best of the Stone Roses from that we've
sure,
played I Wanna Be Adored. That's one of the prizes. That's a nice little Christmas compilation.
Second hand now then, really, isn't it?
Second hand, yeah. 50 years of the greatest hit singles. I'll tell you there's some great stuff on here.
Oh,
opens,
on.
Rick, with Bohemian Rhapsody.
One of the biggest number ones of all time.
If you've not heard that enough already, you're followed then by John Lennon's Imagine, Candle in the Wind, Elton John. You've got all
on
sorts
one
on
CD, Stephen.
Well,
these are some of the greatest rock minds.
They've chosen some of the best songs by some of the best artists.
Go on.
Paul McCartney's Mull of Kintyre. That's on there. We've got let me see. Culture
that is pretty impressive though, because they are real big classic number ones, as opposed to you know the song by the artist they didn't really care about. You see those things on this. Is not available in the shops, and it's, you know, the second best song artists have done.
It seems odd that we're giving it away on XFM, because it includes Robbie Williams' Angels,
yeah.
Atomic Kitten's Hole Again, Spice
sure.
Girls' Wannabe, Kylie Minogue's Can't Get You Out of the Head, and I think it closes, well, it almost closes with Steps Tragedy. That's the penultimate track. It ends, though. Any ideas?
Yeah.
Big, big hit single.
But
did they know it's Christmas, Band-Aid? Perfect for your Christmas
sure,
party.
Sure, sure, sure.
We've
sure.
also got the Groove Armada current album, is that
yeah,
from them?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And signed by the man himself, the Big Beach Boutique DVD, Fatboy Slim's concert on that Brighton beach. And there's all kinds of treats on there. And includes a an audio commentary by Norman Cook. I don't know how that works. 3 hours of him going, this is where the needle almost jumps.
Yeah,
watch out for this. I did a little bit of scratching. I'm not very good at scratching, but just look forward to that.
I'm putting a different track. You'll see me there.
Yeah.
Is the crowd loving it?
Here's me. I'm just waiting for, this is where I go from Conga Squad to Basement Jacks.
Yeah.
Look forward to that.
That's one of mine. I'll pop on what you see there. I've got Praise You Ready on.
Yeah, I just got that. That's slightly dusty. I just had to wipe that down with a damp rag.
Yeah.
So, look forward to that. Plus, I suppose this is good if you're a fan. This is a box set of the first series of Linda Green. I think a new series starts this week or has already started. I'll tell you what I found while I was clearing up, Rick. Because I noticed there's not a big movie this week. We normally give away a big movie. I was moving house this week and I found a video that you're more than welcome to if you're a fan.
Burt Reynolds?
No, it stars Kurt Russell. Executive Decision. I've got that to give away if you're interested. Executive Decision with Steven Seagal in a cameo as well. So, I think it's on TV this week, Rick. So if you miss it this coming Friday, you don't tape it this Friday.
Well,
here it is on VHS.
Bring it in, because I think Carl's excited about that. I think Carl would like to win that,
there's
wouldn't
some
you?
Great prizes
well,
there.
How about if you come up with an extra Rockbusters today? For the bonus prize.
I don't think I'm the man for the job, Carl. I think it has to come from your unique take on the world.
Carl, I don't think you've quite worked out why you're funny and why things you do are good. Go on then.
Right, you ready then? So, just in case you haven't heard it before, I give you some initials of a band or an artist.
We're not doing Rockbusters now, are we?
Yeah, I thought, well, we've just-
Oh, then we keep that going, then we got- well, I love educating Ricky, that's my favourite thing now.
Well, what do you want to do, Steve?
It's just that it's
sort of bigged up the prizes.
And so this is only by email. Give the email address out now for people to write it down now, Carl.
Right, it's ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk.
ricky.gervais@xfm.co.uk. Only entries on email.
Yeah.
You're going to get 3 clues. You've got to get them all right.
And you win all the
You
stuff.
Win all those prizes, you said. Okay, Carl, go on then.
Right, and just a quick example, one of the first ones we did, it was like AK, and the clue was Exploding Pet,
yeah,
and it was Atomic Kitten, right? Yeah. So you understand how it works now. These are your clues. The first one, that army has got some well nice trenches.
That army has got some well nice trenches. Excellent. Yeah.
And the initials there are DW.
Do you write some of the questions for 15 to 1?
Go on.
So that army has got some
similar phrasing.
Nice trenches, okay.
Okay.
The second one.
What were the initials there, Carl, on that person?
DW.
DW.
Yeah. Right. The second one. The top of them curtains are all wrecked. All the materials all worn.
He acts it out, though. We've got to get him on telly. We have got to get him on telly. Because his little face and his gestures.
That's
and
the second one. The initials being HV. Okay. The top of those curtains are wrecked. All the materials all worn out, right? HV. And the final one, here's the final clue. I was in Texas the other week, right? I tripped and landed on my knees in a puddle.
what's the
initials? WH for that one. So I was in Texas, I tripped up, landed on my knees in a puddle. So that's WH.
Incredible.
I've got it!
Is it great?
It's fantastic! It doesn't
work. Okay, time to join the record. Remember, you're playing for these compilation albums. We've got the Fatboy Slim DVD, Linda Green on VHS, and of course, Executive Decision, starring Kurt Russell as well.
Oh, God!
Bob Dylan. Just Like a Woman on XFM 104.9.
Couple more names, boxing nicknames for you, Rick. I think this is from Josh. Ricky Blue Eyes, I quite like. And he's also put Toad Rage. which I quite like. I'll tell you, our number one fan has emailed again, I'm pleased to announce.
Who?
Richard Anderson, Dickie Anderson, he was in touch
Anders
last week.
Is back.
Anders
is back. He loves this show.
He's such a fan of the show, and this week he's emailed in, what actually is the point of your show? Is it to confuse, irritate, depress, or what? All of those things, Dickie. Thanks for noticing.
Oh, he loves this show.
He's such a fan. He's such a fan.
He's brilliant.
Because last week, you remember, Carl, he emailed in to say that he'd rather spend his time counting his feet than listen to this show. Presumably he's done that. Yeah. And he's decided to email in.
Wonder how many feet.
Incredible.
Yeah. Yeah. No, but he loves this show.
He's good, yeah. So, thanks, RA. Thanks for listening.
See you later.
Missy Elliott. Work It on XFM 104.9. Ricky Gervais, Steve Merchant, Carl Pilkington.
Educating Ricky?
Yeah.
Do you want to do a bit of that?
Well, the clues are coming in furious.
The answers, I should say. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So go on in. Oh, this is what-
Yeah, Rockbusters is well underway, Carl. Don't worry. You've done your work there.
Okay.
Right, come on.
Right. Educating Ricky.
This is my favourite bit now.
You're just gonna tease us, aren't you, with three, headlines, if you
And I'll choose one, then we got the other two as well.
Yeah, that's the way it works, and at the end of it, you learn some stuff. Like I say, I'm struggling a bit with knowledge.
Yeah.
At last he confesses.
Yeah, go on.
So the three headlines for you to pick from, we've got, first one, we'll have a big fire tomorrow.
I got a feeling there's some vegetables involved.
Go on.
Maybe. Second one, he's a bit of a nuisance.
Okay.
Right.
And, third one, I'll bacon in the morning, if you're sick of having me here.
Oh, that one.
I'll bacon in the morning, if you're sick of having me here.
Right, I'm having that one.
That's brilliant.
Right, well, it's a saying. Do you know, cold shoulder? Giving someone the cold shoulder?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Alright, if you have someone around at your house, and, you know, you try to get rid of them, and they're hanging around and stuff, and you're like, oh, I wish they'd go, I'm tired and that. Well, years ago,
When? Literally years ago? Well, ages ago?
Sort of,
olden times.
I think it said medieval times.
Yonks ago, then. Yonks ago.
Yeah, medieval,
We're going back quite a bit on this
one. You know when you find out these books, well, it just popped down when it was.
Just make a note.
I don't think it says all the time. It just sort of says, you know, a few years back.
Yeah.
Oh, no, right. Never.
Alright, I'll make an effort next week.
Okay.
Right? So, oh, it's annoying that, because my girlfriend said to me, just make a note of the time and he'll stop having a go at you.
Yeah.
Yeah?
And I kind of thought, oh, it's alright.
Didn't listen.
I don't think it matters anyway in this one. We're looking at the saying, right? So yeah. It's giving someone a cold shoulder, right? And what it is, right, ages ago, there weren't enough houses for people.
Right.
Because there wasn't much money being made. You know, they weren't big businesses, people weren't earning good money like they are now. So, there wasn't as many houses, right? So what you ended up getting is like, you know, the rich people having a nice place to live.
Oh.
And the poor people were like wandering about, you know, looking for places to live and that. And what they ended up doing is, they had like, people would go around to the mate's house and say, look, I haven't got anywhere to live. It's a bit cold, can you let me stay, right? So they'd go, oh, alright, then you can stay a couple of days. But they ended up staying for, like, weeks,
yeah.
Right? So, to sort of get rid of them, what they'd end up doing, they'd be making the dinner, and they'd, be making a lovely dinner, like, a bit of meat, nice warm meat, and, nice veg, yeah. Gravy, and,
this happened every time, did it? This is where the saying came
from. This is what happened, Rick. This happened
every time.
It was in that vague book.
Right? The book of vague sayings and stuff.
Yeah. Right, so, so yeah, so they'd be making a nice meal, but what they did, they looked after all the family, but the person who won't go home, they just give them some, like, sort of a cut-off of cold meat.
Right.
So they'd say, you're giving them the cold shoulder. Meaning... Right.
Okay, that's rubbish. absolute...
Carl, no, why does that necessarily work?
Yeah, yeah. Why do they always, in every situation when you want to get rid of a lodger, well, still feed him every day, but make the meat lukewarm.
So he leave then.
Yeah.
Oh, this food's lukewarm. I'm gonna go, I'm gonna become homeless
and
again,
they go,
wandering the streets.
Hold on, are you giving me the cold shoulder? Yes. Do you want me to leave? Yes, just say leaving. No, I like to do it cryptically. That way, in years to come, someone will have a little saying about it.
Well, yeah, that was our bacon in the morning. Yeah. If you've had enough of meat, we'll leave that.
Well, we'll bacon in the morning! If you've had enough of me!
So come back. What are the others? Just tease us again with the others. We'll come back to those.
You've got, he's a bit of a nuisance. And,
brilliant.
And we'll have a big fire tomorrow.
Nice, looking forward to that.
Okay.
Nirvana, yeah. In their version of The Man Who Sold the World, the David Bowie tune.
Good tune.
Taken from that new Nirvana compilation.
I like that version, I like the David Bowie version.
You can't decide, can you, Rick? You're torn.
In fact, I like the Lulu version as well.
Is there a Lulu version?
Maybe we should play that one,
wow.
Rick. Yeah.
Was this recorded, what, in the 70s?
I think she recorded it about the same time
right.
As David Bowie. I don't know if he released it as a single, I think it was just on off the album.
Interesting.
Carl is... studying. Okay, what's the next one? What's the next educating
Ricky? Well, I don't know, see, like I say, I was looking around and there's stuff that is interesting, right? I was looking on the web.
But there's no point.
Well, it's just that I found one about,
what's the point?
About a lad who, 8 years old,
yeah.
But he's still breastfed. Now, I don't know if you can get anything out of that.
Is that what his mum said? So, what do you mean, I don't know if I can get anything out of that? You don't need to.
No, it's just that, you know.
Where did you read that?
That was on the internet.
Oh, well, yeah.
You're always unspecific when you mention it. It's just it was on the internet.
Well, yeah. I'm trying to think what I put in. I think I put in Y to see if I'd confuse a computer.
Go! You are...
No,
I did
a search, put in Y, and he came up with funny things that, like, why is this person doing that, why is that... And it had a picture of this 8-year-old lad, sort of, you know, on his mum's nipple. And, it was saying, you know, is this healthy?
You sure that wasn't asking you that question?
I put in Y just to confuse the computer. Like the computer going, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Oh, look, what, yeah. Last week, I was walking, home with him, and I went, he was saying something stupid, and I went, I've got a competition for next week. Let's do a phone-in, and it's called Carl Pilkington, genius or fool?
Yeah.
Right? And he went, no. No. I went, why not? He went, well, it'd be confusing, because they say... there's no difference between genius and being a fool.
No,
but it's rubbish, and people say there's a fine line between madness and genius, and, you know, it's a ridiculous soundbite. They don't say there's a fine line between a genius and an idiot.
Well, the people who do are idiots.
Yeah.
So what would you do there, though, just to sort of wrap that little thing up? What would you do? That lad loves his mum's... his mum's milk.
What are you asking me to come up with?
No, I'm just...
A title for the story?
No. It's just what would you do? Right.
What do you mean, what would I do?
Well, it's causing a bit of a problem in the area, right?
What area?
In America, I think it was.
Oh, America are a problem, are they? George Bush is worried about this kid who's breastfeeding at 8.
Imagine it like this, right?
Right. So, Carl, what are you asking me about this spurious story you saw on the internet?
I saw on the internet. There's an 8-year-old lad, he likes his mum's milk. Yeah. And it's saying, is this right? Should it
No, it's not.
On?
But what
do you want Ricky to do about it? It's not his responsibility.
Yeah. Yeah.
No, but the little town that he lives in, they're all causing an uproar, right? Going, this isn't right, you know, I can't let my kid play out in case he's in the garden with his mum getting a bit hungry, right? Yeah. So,
oh God.
What should they do? Because his mum's saying, well, he likes it.
Yeah.
And he, you know, what do you do?
I don't know the laws.
No, but I'm not asking you to sort out the laws. I'm just saying, if you lived in that neighbourhood, what would you say? If you went up to him and said, look, everyone's getting a bit fed up with this, look.
I'd say, what would I do? What do you mean, what would I do? what are you asking me?
Right, it doesn't matter.
No, what are you asking me? What are you asking me and Steve and the public?
I'm just saying, say if you live next door to this woman.
Yeah.
Right? The kid's hungry, 8 years old. He's out playing on his bike and he goes, Mum, I'm getting a bit peckish, and he goes, alright, son. She whops one out. and he starts having his milk, right? You live next door, you're putting your washing out, and you see this going on. You're getting a bit sick of it, because it's gone on for months.
Eight years, I see.
Why is it your business? Why are you such a nosy neighbour that you're concerned?
What would you do, Carl? Let's turn it back on him. Yeah. What would you do?
What's your solution?
What would you do?
Well, I thought... I'd say, right, why are you doing this? And she'd say, because he likes it. And I go, all right then, put it in a bowl first.
Genius.
So and you think that would sort that out?
No, because I was thinking about the whole thing, right, and you do that when you're a baby, and everything's all right, innit?
Yeah.
No one bats an eyelid at a little baby having a bit of milk from its mum's breast, right?
Yeah.
You'd almost say it was natural.
But you grow out of it. It's like, you don't see. It got me thinking about things you don't see. And you don't see.
Did you put this into a computer? Show me things you don't see.
What else don't you see?
Well, you don't see, like, an old man having a Twix. You never...
You know the terrible thing about all this, Steve, is he's right.
You don't see an old man.
No, I know that's a terrible thing.
So what they have got, right, they've made old man toffees, haven't they? They've come up with rulers.
is that a song? Oh God. You don't see an old man.
No. No, listen now. So they've got their Werthers, right?
Yeah.
So,
look at him! You think he's giving a lecture at Oxford?
It's not coming anywhere.
No, go on.
I'm just saying.
Right.
You grow out of things.
Yeah.
And the old man, I'm sure when he was a kid, he'd have a Twix.
Yeah.
But now it doesn't look right, so he's having.
It doesn't look right!
So.
Right.
I don't think Werther's originals were specially designed for old people. I think they were sweets that just happened to have been made for years. Mm. That's why old people eat them.
Yeah.
They didn't go, hang on, there's a market here. I've noticed old people aren't eating Twixes. Quick, let's make some old man sweets.
But the little advert, he gives it to his grandson as well, doesn't he? He goes, I'll have a Werther's original.
Oh, I think it cuts, though, before he throws it back in his face and goes, get me a Twix. And a damn curly whirly, granddad, you old fool.
Electric Six, Danger, High Voltage on XFM 104.9. Sums up the show. Danger, High Voltage.
Indeed.
Ricky Gervais with me, Steve Merchant, and the amazing Carl Pilkington. So, other things you don't see, Carl. Got any other ones, or you've obviously been thinking about this? What confuses you? When you look out your window, what confuses you with the world? What do you walk around going, oh, that's a bit weird? I remember, when you were in, Edinburgh, you were confused because you saw someone putting a parking ticket on some rubbish. Which confused you.
Yeah. That was weird.
Yeah.
the world's a crazy place, isn't it? I mean, whatever you look at, you can. Do you know what I mean?
Like what?
Well, anything. I mean, you could look out the window there and you'll see something. You go, why are they doing that?
Yeah.
What are they doing that for?
Yeah.
I'll tell you this, maybe we should bring back White Van Carl. There's some interesting questions this week, Rick.
Yeah.
We could pull that out of the bag if you're interested.
Shall we do that?
Just, get, Carl's take on, the world's
Let's do it.
I'll tell you what, we'll do that in a second. Let's have another Educating Ricky, because I think you got sidetracked with your talk of
Well, just the other thing on things you don't see. Look at the way when I went to school, there was two kids with them big heads. Now, You never see them.
Sure. Yeah, but no one else saw them anyway, Carl. It's only you that saw two of them, not related, and wouldn't hang around with each other because you think they thought it would be too obvious. webbed fingers and big heads. That's amazing.
And there was a kid with a pigeon chest, so.
Oh yeah, and the lady with the head like a bag of spuds.
Let's not go through these again. It just raises too many questions that can't be answered.
Yeah.
Right then, so, we've got, we'll have a big fire tomorrow.
Yeah, go on.
Is that the one you want?
Let's go for it.
Right, I think this was, like, round the 1700s.
Bluffing.
And...
Just bluffing.
Who was the king, then?
Don't know.
Go on.
But it's about the word bonfire, right?
Bonfire.
Bonfire.
Yeah.
Do you know where it comes from?
No, go on.
No.
Right, what happened is it's got nothing to do with Guy Fawkes and that, which is what I thought when I saw it. It's got nothing to do with that. But ages ago, at 1700s, they didn't have enough houses, like I mentioned.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, if that happens, you get people living on the streets.
Uh-huh.
You get diseases, people aren't cleaning properly.
Mm.
So, you get more deaths.
Mm-hmm.
All right?
Yeah.
So, think about it. You've got all these dead bodies lying around. They're running out of space, because it's like, I don't know why they're running out of space, but they haven't got much, I don't know why, really. I was going to say, they should have just buried them, but, you know, there's probably more land back then than now.
He doesn't need anyone else in the room to have a
conversation
dialogue
with himself.
Yeah, we could leave and we'd come back and you go, I'm sorting it. Yeah. Yeah.
But anyway, for some reason,
they presumably, if it's going to be they burnt them, it's presumably to do that it also kills the parasite or whatever's carrying the parasite on them, as opposed to burying them and not killing the disease.
Well, yeah. So that's there you go. You've worked it out. They piled them up and they turned it into a celebration because there was a lot of fed up people at that time.
Is this to be the word bon meaning good?
No. I'll tell you in a minute.
Go on.
So you've got all these people who are like going around. And like, oh, you know, so-and-so died the other day. And, you know, nearly every week someone they knew was dying. Yeah. So you can imagine, like, just constant, like, being depressed.
Mm.
So, and they've got all these bodies lying everywhere. It's like, oh, God, what are we going to do? So they said, we're all too fed up at the moment. Said, let's make this a better world.
This was 1701 by the time they got together.
Yeah.
So they said, what we need to do is have a big party.
Mm.
So they said, yeah.
Good thinking.
See what you're thinking. So, they go, right, well, we'll put all the bodies in a big pile,
mm-hmm.
and they're all diseased and that, so they set fire to the bodies,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and they said, let's have this as a celebration to remember them
mm-hmm.
by, and, you know, we'll have a drink and that, and have a chat, we'll have this big fire going, and it came from bone fire.
Ah, right.
So it was all the bones, bonfire, it's bone fire.
Yeah. Excellent.
Yeah,
that's interesting.
So that's how it came about.
Yeah, in the 1700s.
Yeah,
that was.
Probably. Okay. I reckon it was 1600.
Probably earlier.
I reckon it was the plague.
Mm.
I reckon it came from.
But interesting stuff. Interesting stuff.
So that's.
Did you celebrate Bonfire Night? Is that a big celebration for you?
No.
Do you like the fireworks? So I'm sick of fireworks. I just think they're rubbish.
I'm not impressed.
I've never been impressed by fireworks. Even as a kid, you know, you'd have to go to like sort of community kind of gatherings with a bonfire and fireworks, and some local vicar or whatever would come out. But I also think the adults think
the kids love it, and if they just got together and said, "Should we go this year?" They'd all go, "No." Let's not go this year.
What would be better is if the vicar had wheeled out like a massive rocket, climbed in, gone last one to the moon as a bender, and then fired himself off. Now that, I'd pay to see. That's a fireworks display I'd like to see. As it is, it's just rubbish.
Oh dear.
Yeah.
Is
That's
that your
excellent.
Feeling, Carl?
Yeah. I'm not keen.
No.
Sorry, what clue was that?
We'll have a big fire tomorrow.
Bone marrow. Bone marrow. Genius. Let's play the record.
Oh, God! Right, what's this? Go on. What, go on, just get on with it, because I just can't believe what you just said.
What we're doing? Are we, final one?
Yeah.
Right, the last one, like I said-
No. Say the record. Yeah. Say the record you played, go on.
This is, Free Association.
Yeah, brilliant, right.
I wish I'd have would not.
Yeah, and what did you just say to me just before this was ending? He just looked over at me and went, are there any animals without a brain?
No, but hang on a minute.
No, right. And I went, yeah, there's animals that are. He went, oh, I was gonna talk about this, but it's sad. There's a lad born without a brain, and he laughs a lot, and his hearing and his sight's okay. I'll go, well, that's impossible. If he's without a brain, all that is impossible. When he went, well, it was in the magazine.
No, it was in a book that somebody sent.
Right.
And I didn't want to bring it up, because it is a bit sad, really. That this, you know, young lad, it is a picture of him sat there with his mum, and,
Carl!
Well,
Carl!
Forget it.
It's impossible.
Well, there must have been more to the story,
he
Carl.
Can't not have a brain. Hearing and sight is a concept within the brain. Yes. That's all it is, right? Yeah. The ears are just receptacles. They're just, yeah. So,
but that's why it was in this book. It was a book of mysteries.
Carl, you know, if you're reading a book and you see a photo and you guess at what you think the story might be, that doesn't make it true. That doesn't make it fair.
I looked at it because I thought he looks like an happy lad.
Sure.
And I read about it and I thought, that's weird. Like you've said, the fact that he hasn't got a brain but he can see and he can hear.
No! Impossible! Impossible.
Okay.
Go
on. I don't know who to believe. Listen, we haven't done it for a while. White van man. I thought there's some interesting questions raised today, and I think it might be nice to
We've set Carl up again in the last hour as a person that people want to know his opinions on the world.
If you're not familiar with it, on Saturdays, the Sun newspaper asks a typical white van driver questions his opinions on the week's news, and we thought we'd throw these in the direction of Carl.
Good.
And then what do you make of this teenage thug, Carl, Mickey Carroll, who spent 4 months in jail and he's won $9.7 million on the lottery? Is that justice when you think of all the good people that are going hungry? And there's a lad there and he's won.
Did he buy the ticket before he went in?
No, I think he bought it once he'd come out.
So he's done his time.
He's done his time.
Fair enough then, he's been punished.
Yeah.
Right? He's bought a ticket. He's had a lot of bad luck.
Mm-hmm.
Now he's having a bit of good luck.
Quite right. Next one.
Are you concerned that now he's got all that money, he could turn into like a sort of mastermind villain? You know, like a James Bond style villain. He's got a criminal streak. We know that. Is that a concern for you?
Well,
you
we
imagine
don't.
That he could build some kind of underwater fortress.
We don't. With my lawyer's hat on, we don't know that.
Yeah. Well. Well, he'd have to prove that he didn't have a criminal streak. I'd say you've been in jail for 4 months.
Yeah.
But sometimes people are bad because they haven't got any money, so he might be an angel of gold now.
One in five children aged between 11 and 16 go on booze binge sessions at least once a week. That's terrifying news, isn't it?
Kids, they know too much now.
Yeah.
Compared to you, yeah.
You despair.
I know, right?
Yeah.
Listen to this one, right?
Go on.
My dad had my niece in the car, right, running her to school one day. And, she's in the back of the car with a mate. And they're chatting away about stuff like kids do. And he got onto the topic of one of the mates, and he said, I mean, you've got to remember, niece, this point was probably about 5 or 6, something like that, right, in the back of the car, talking about My Little Pony, whatever it is they play with. Subject changed. Oh, that Lisa in our class, she's a lesbian, isn't she?
Right.
That was the that's what they were talking about.
Yeah.
Chatting away about it.
Just openly talking about lesbianism.
And probably, you know, this is the topic that they're talking about in the pub when they're having one. Out drinking.
Yeah, but they might have thought lesbian was a funny word or something. You don't necessarily know the ins and outs of it, do they?
He's weird though, isn't it? Because when I was younger at school, you didn't like, I mean, you swore a little bit, but it wasn't like major swear words. And you sort of did a little bit of nicking, but nothing like they get up to now. I mean, if-
My girlfriend, when she was about 7 or 8, she was walking to school with her mum, and she called her a C-U-N.
Right? You are joking.
No, she said, oh, because she thought it was a big, she said she thought it was a big furry animal. She thought, so she was being nice, and I remember, where'd you hear that? Like, just heard it at school. So they might, you know, they might not know what it means.
Well, I tell you, you know, I'm gonna have to use kind of euphemisms here to tell this story, but when I was at school, I learned, you know, the stronger version, it's not the same word, but it's very similar with one letter changed. I'm gonna use twit.
Yeah.
You know the word I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But I'm gonna use the word twit to replace it, right? And I said, I went round-
You think they're twat?
Yeah. That's what I'm thinking of. And, so can I say it? Am I allowed to say it?
No, no, it's weird though, because-
No, hang on,
some people look from Cornwall use that like saying twit. So, if people listen in Cornwall-
Do you know what, a twit is a pregnant goldfish?
Well.
Well, I learned the stronger version of twit.
Yeah.
Twat. For those that aren't sure. I learned this at school when I was like 10 or whatever, and I didn't know what it meant. I thought it was just a stronger version of twit.
Yeah.
I thought it was just if you were really annoyed with someone because they were a real twit.
Because I is worse than I.
Exactly, apparently. So, you know, Carl would be a twit. And, and so I started using this at home because I didn't realise what it meant. I started using this at home, oh, you twit, you're a twit, and saying it to my dad, you're a twit, you know, but not saying twit.
Yeah.
And my dad didn't know what it meant either.
That's great!
I couldn't believe. So he started using it as well, right? So then we'd be driving in the car, he'd be saying to my mum, you stupid, say this to my mum, you jokes, pull over, you're gonna bump it, you twat. Saying this. Then I learned at school from Mark Johnson what it really meant.
Yeah.
Stopped using it, obviously finding out it was quite an offensive word.
Yeah.
Couldn't, I didn't want to bring it up to my dad. I didn't want to sit my dad down and say, Dad, you know that word we've been saying?
Yeah.
You know what it means? So now, to this day, I've never brought it out with him. So we'll be driving, you know, I'll go home for Christmas, we'll be driving around, he'll be calling my mum that word. Left, right and centre. I think she knows. I think she's just embarrassed. Or she's just upset and she knows what it means. She goes, why does he keep calling me this terrible word? But he's the only one, I think, in our family who doesn't know what it means. No one's got the guts to say, I don't know whether I should tell him this Christmas.
Oh, what a twat.
I know.
Good to hear that again.
Always good to hear that.
Suede. Animal nitrate. Carl's all flustered because there isn't a record set up and he's getting all tizzy. He's been more worried about his competitions than sorting out putting records on ready. What?
I'm after Steve's Song for a Lover.
Well, I'll tell you what, you, why didn't you carry on with your educating Ricky section? I'll have a look on the
secret. We'll keep it going, Steve.
Yeah, cover you keep it.
Go on. Go on then, right, okay. We've had a few emails. Anyone got it right, Carl?
Educating Ricky, that's the final one. We've got to get that out of the way.
We've got to get Rockbuster as well, though.
We can do that at the end. We can
go on, then.
But we've only got 5 minutes left.
Come on, just do Educating Ricky.
Right.
God.
The last one that we haven't done is, he's a bit of a nuisance.
Go on, then.
Again, not really that interesting.
Thanks.
No, like, again, I spoke to you in the week, and I had much better things, like when I tell you about Brian Blessed climbing Everest. And for some reason it made him, it played havoc with his belly and he followed through and he had to clean up.
Shat himself.
Yeah, using ice and snow.
Why are you telling me that Brian Blessed, in what way is telling me that Brian Blessed shit himself once in any way educational?
Because I was saying how he was climbing Everest, right?
Right.
I'll give it to him, he's an actor and that, but he gave that a go.
Yeah.
Right, he played-
What's the point of that, you'd say, wouldn't you?
You'd say, God, he's you know.
Oh, so he's all right. Me doing a boxing match for no reason is rubbish, but him climbing Everest and shitting himself.
Yeah, he did that.
It's commendable.
Right, and he's only gonna, like, go and do it again. He's gonna climb it again.
Yeah, but he might not shit himself this time.
Yeah, but what's the point in going? Nothing's changed up there.
Yeah, good point. Yeah,
good. Been?
Well, it has. They've probably, probably cleared it up by now. Right, but, slip on it.
I can't really bother telling you this one, because-
Come on! Do it now!
Steve, how are we doing?
Look, no, never mind that. Look, just tell me what that means! Oh, he's a nuisance. Oh, this is so annoying, Carl. I'm gonna go mental.
Right,
talk!
Right, listen, I'm just putting this in here, right? Right, nuisance. He's a bit of a nuisance.
Yeah.
Apparently, the old fella who used to hang people-
1900s.
He used to be able to tell somebody's weight just by looking at him. Right? That's a bit of a bonus fact.
We'll be the judge of that.
The thing that I wanted to tell you is, money for old rope, do you know what I'm saying? I can't even be bothered.
Yes, you're gonna tell me now. Come on, Carl.
Right,
I mean it.
Basically, money for old rope came from the right.
What was all that about? He can tell someone's weight. What was
the
that
bonus
for?
Fact.
And Brian Blessed shitting himself. What are you? What? No, don't you. No, tell me that now. You nearly made me swear. Then I'm getting really annoyed. I'm getting really annoyed now. Tell me this back, Carl, or I'm gonna go mental. Come on, Carl. Time's running out.
More than people years ago. When people used to be hung, right?
Right.
If you didn't like the person who's been hung, you'd go, God, I really don't like him. And to, and so you never forget the time.
Presumably if they're being hung, we take that as red.
Yeah. Well, so they never forget afterwards to get the hangman to get the rope and to cut it up into little pieces, and he'd sell them. He'd sell the little pieces of rope to people.
And see, that, so, Carl, that's the most interesting thing, if it's true, that you've come up with.
Right, okay. And so they sell the rope?
They sell the rope, and it's money for old rope.
Money for old rope?
Meaning, like, you know, God, it's easy to make money, that all they have to do is cut it up and sell it.
I'm cynical.
I'm not so convinced.
Right, listen, we're really tight. We haven't even got time for a last joke. We've got an ad break, and we've got to give out.
Okay, give the answers then. This is ridiculous.
So, Steve, do you want to pick a winner?
I've got a winner when you give us the answers.
Okay, so the first clue was that army has got some well nice trenches.
Yeah,
that was DW.
Who's that?
Dandy Warhols.
That's brilliant. That's brilliant.
Right. That's good, yeah.
The second one. The top of them curtains are wrecked. All the material is worn. Yeah. HV. That's Holly Valance.
Oh, he got a phone call for a woman saying I haven't heard it. And she went, he was talking to her off air. And she went, what is it? So-and-so said them curtains. She went, all right. He said, you know the thing around the top of the curtain is a palmet, not a valance. And he went, cut her off.
Yeah, but... My aunt is always making valances on everything. I'll tell you about that next week, right?
I'm looking forward to that. Right.
Is this the one that farted for 5 minutes?
Yeah, the very same. Yeah. Right? So, we'll talk about that. I was in Texas, I tripped up, I landed on my knees in a puddle, WH.
Yeah.
Whitney Houston. Right?
Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
So, you're a maniac.
So, who's a winner?
We've got Pete, Catherine and Laura in Newcastle upon Tyne. They're listening online, I assume, and they're
going to
get those great prizes. And remember, they've got loads of stuff. They've got the DVD here, they've got Linda Green, they've got Stone Roses, they've got another compilation, and Executive Decision.
What did you read about Brian Blessed? Is it actually true, or have you libeled
no,
someone else?
It was an interview with him in it.
And what did he say? Oh, come on, what did he say?
He said, I climbed Everest and I played off it with me belly. Let's talk about it next week. We've really run out now.
Oh, you're a fool.